It's time now for Homeward with Jim Burns, helping families succeed. Here now is your host, Jim Burns.
Well, being a parent is one of the greatest blessings on the planet. That's my opinion. I think it's your opinion, too, or you wouldn't be on this podcast. But let's be honest. It can also be a challenge. And you add the words strong-willed, and sometimes it's just daunting. And we were fortunate enough to have three strong-willed. And I think there's a strong-willed wife and a strong-willed husband in the Burns family. So, you know, that's a big deal. And I'm really excited today. We have my friend Lucille Williams is with us today. She actually has some great things to say about the strong-willed child. She wrote a wonderful book called The Impossible Kid, Parenting a Strong-Willed Child with Love and Grace. I love that book. And Lucille is a speaker. She's a writer. She has a great website, by the way, called Lou Says, L-U and then says.com. And like I said, she's the author of The Impossible Kid, as well as a pretty spicy book that we'll bring her on sometime and talk about The Intimacy You Crave, Straight Talk on Sex and Pancakes. And anyway, she is one of my favorite people on the planet. She's married to her husband, Mike, who is a pastor. And I'll let her talk about their five-year fight. I just love that story. And she's written a bunch of other books, too, that we'll talk about some other time. But Lucille, I want to get right to it. Welcome to the Homeward Broadcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure. Yeah. Always a pleasure.
Well, it's great to have you and to actually get to talk about strong-willed child. Were you a strong-willed child?
I don't think so. No, I was one of those good kids for the most part.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I was kind of that kid too. And then I had strong-willed children kind of going, what on earth took place here? I think my wife was a strong-willed child, but I don't know if I'd get in trouble for saying that on the air. And I think I just did say it on the air. So, you know, there's words like obnoxious and disagreeable, strong-willed, of course, stubborn. You know, all these words are words that sometimes describe at least the characteristics of a strong-willed child. And yet you have hope for kids who are strong-willed, hope for the kid, but also hope for the parents. And I want you to speak about that.
Yeah. Obstinate, strong-willed, strong-spirited, stubborn. That translates to leader. Faithful follower of Jesus, someone who stands for their convictions. My little strong-willed one, my worst one, was my daughter, and she's an adult now. And she's amazing. Yeah. She's amazing. And she's married to a pastor, and she's doing God's work, and she's an amazing mom and a great wife, and she's a leader, and she stands for her convictions, and she's such an amazing daughter. I could not ask for a better daughter.
I've said that about our kids. I said, Kathy, they'll be leaders, and they are. But boy, sometimes just it's tough in those seasons when a mom and a dad are just going, wow, are we going to make it through this time? Now, what's interesting is sometimes I think that the strong-willed child, now how you can boast about Monica, you know, now that she's older, but, you know, there were these moments. But I think the strong-willed child sometimes is tough on a marriage. And you talked about you and Mike having what you called the five-year fight, or I think you said the five-year battle. Talk about that and how that relates.
Yes, yes. You know, it's funny because with the strong-willed kid, I used to sometimes call my husband and go, if I'm dead, it was Monica. Just know that's why I'm dead.
Not Monica's dead. You're dead.
Exactly.
That's exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, my husband and I, we're feisty. We're strong-spirited. We both, like when we got married, we didn't know Jesus. And so all we knew was to fight for ground. That's all we knew. Yeah. Was to try to get the other person to do what we wanted. I need this, I need that, and you're not giving it to me. Mm-hmm. And that's what we knew. I came from a big Italian family. We were really good at fighting. Like, I learned how to fight as a child. You were allowed, it's one thing that was allowed in my family. You were allowed to fight with adults.
I don't think I've ever met an Italian family that doesn't fight. Is that, that's has something to do with pasta.
I know. I remember my grandma's. I had my great-grandma spoke Italian, so she, you know, didn't speak English. And she used to fight with my grandmother in Italian, and they'd be screaming at each other. Well, I was listening to this movie with subtitles, and it was in Italian, and I was recognizing words. And I'm like, oh, those are swear words they were screaming at each other. I didn't even know. But there was always fighting around me. So when I got married, getting, you know, fighting with your spouse, that was just normal. Like, you fought about stuff. And if you didn't like something, you spoke up. happened. You fought about it.
So you had a 5-year battle is what you're saying.
5 years. Yeah. It went, we would sometimes fight for 2 weeks at a time. It was brutal. We were terrible to each other. And so about 5 years in, the Lord got a hold of both of us and we became Christians. And then I was like, okay, I think I need to do this differently. And I started reading scripture. And I remember the day I saw submit, I'm like, what in the world is that doing in my Bible?
Right,
there's no way I'm submitting to him. I've been fighting with him for 5 years. I'm not giving up this ground now.
Right.
But then I realized, okay, God, I'll surrender this. And then I learned how to have a marriage the way God designed it.
Well, that's really, I love that. And actually, it's funny because the word submit I have run from, but it's now part of Kathy's and my goal in our marriage to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And, you know, it's nine words, and it's really an important thing. I need to submit by serving her. She submits by serving me. And I think that's a model for our kids. It's not easy to do, obviously, especially when we weren't raised, you know, with that kind of a model. And it doesn't sound like you were either. Now, here's something that happens. And I've thought about this in reading your book. Parents feel shame when their kids have bad behavior. And I was just on an airplane, and I watched this woman have to deal with their kid who had a tantrum. He had an A-plus tantrum during the flight, and she was trying to reason with him, which didn't work real well. But the part I want to talk about first is the idea of parents feel shame because their kids were doing so bad. What do you say to a parent who feels like they're a horrible parent because their kid is, you know, making poor decisions or bad decisions or just being a rough kid?
Yeah, well, kids are going to be kids. They're figuring it out. They're testing the boundaries. They're seeing what they can get away with. They're going to, a lot of kids, I mean, I don't know of a kid who hasn't thrown at least one tantrum. And it's usually out in public where the mom or the dad or both are totally mortified.
Yeah.
But we don't have control of that, right? We cannot control our kids. Just like God doesn't control us, our kids have choices.
Right.
And, you know, we're saved by grace and we all have free will and our children have free will and they get to do what they want to do. The only thing we have control of is how we respond to them. So now that my kids have kids, I tell them, don't worry about what your kids do. You just focus on how you're handling what they do.
So what do you do? I mean, what kind of advice would you give somebody whose kid is out of control and you're embarrassed?
Well, it depends on each circumstance, obviously, because, you know, sometimes, like I know children, you give them a little bit of sugar and they wig out.
Right.
You got to notice your kids' patterns. I've seen kids like that. Like even my two grandkids, my daughter's two little ones, when they come over to grandma and grandpa's and like, let's say we're taking them for the weekend, I've noticed if I give them a treat, suddenly their behavior gets different than it was before. I'm like, okay, we're cutting out the sugar.
Right.
So, you know, you have to look at the path. So that's one, that's a kind of a simple fix, but.
No, but it's a good fix. And a lot of times parents don't get that.
Yeah. Or you got to really think about unpack what's going on. Like, okay, did they get sleep last night? Because if your child didn't get sleep, you're going to have behavioral things. Or another biggie is there something going on in the house? You know, as parents, we might have a conflict or we might have something really stressful or we might have just lost our job or we might have a health scare. And the little ones are watching. They feel what's going on in the house, but they don't know how to express those feelings. So if they start wigging out, you have to stop and take inventory and go, what is going on in this house? I'm not saying it's the parent's fault. I'm just saying maybe there's something going on with the child that they don't know how to express themselves. And so they're on, you know, emotion overload. And so they're acting a certain way. So
it's really great insight.
Yeah. And so with tantrums, you just got to let them go. And, you know, sometimes once they start going, like I remember my middle son, he'd be in the hallway throwing a little fit, just in the hall, kicking and screaming. And my husband and I would just wait till he was done. And then when he was done, we're like, okay, what do you want?
Yeah. it's hard not to take it personal, but you're really right. There are certain things you can do. And certain things are really simple, like get the sugar out of their body if they're going a little, you know, wackadoo on that.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. What surprised you about parenthood? You know, it sounds like you guys, you know, didn't have a background in terms of, you know, you didn't have, you know, the perfect role models or whatever growing up. What surprised you? Good, bad, and ugly.
Yeah. Well, one thing was just how emotionally affected you could be by your children. I mean, I remember filling out my daughter's kindergarten forms in the elementary school she was going to go to. And I'm sitting in the front lobby and I'm filling it out. and I can't stop crying. I mean, it was like I'm just blubbering and crying and crying. Yeah. The idea of her going to kindergarten just like it just crushed me. Like, what is wrong with me? Like, grow up or something. Like, are you a baby? And just how they, you know, just affect you. And then, you know, you get your sea legs a little bit. And so you have one and you get in a groove and you think you know what you're doing. And then the next one comes. So you try some of the things out that you did on the first one. And you're like, wait a minute, this isn't working. What would this work with that one? And you got to do a whole other strategy because this is a different kid. And then I remember when I had two, I remember thinking, okay, I got this. I got this parenting thing now. I'm like, we know what to do. We've got this. We know exactly how to. And then the third one came and he was so different from his siblings, and everything that worked for them did not work for him. And he was a different kid. And we had so basically just changing up the strategy, learning your child, learning who they are, what makes them
tick. That's really cool. Yeah. I talk sometimes about how parents disciple their kids. And I say personally tailored discipleship or personally tailored parenting, because like you say, a lot of times, you know, one child is going to be compliant, next kid will be, you know, strong-willed, and, you know, it blows our mind. I had a woman say to me recently, I am so glad my last kid, who was the most strong-willed, wasn't my first. I would have never had children again. And so that was, you know, one of those things where, you know, we do have to learn this, and it's complicated, but it gives me great pleasure to hear what you're saying, because it reminds us that, we need to adapt. And in football, they call it calling an audible, and yet sometimes you have to call an audible.
Right.
I had to learn a prayer, and my prayer for my kids, because again, they were strong-willed, was, Lord, help me to parent the children I have, not the child I was or the child I thought I was going to have. And that was a really helpful prayer to me, to realize that, you know, they weren't going to act like me, and they weren't going to act like my wife, Kathy. And I mean, there are obviously traits in there, but I needed to say, no, I don't. I was probably an easier kid to grow up with. At least my brother said that I was the youngest. So, of course, the youngest are always perfect. And, you know, but my parents didn't probably have as much trouble with me as they did with the others. And so in my mind, my kids were going to be me and none of my kids were me. You know, there's certain traits that they have of me. But that's fascinating. Listen, we're going to take a real quick break and we'll be right back.
Homeward is the largest provider of parenting seminars in the country, helping families with issues like creating a media-safe home, doing life with your adult children, building healthy morals and values, energizing your family's spiritual life, and so much more. Your church or organization can sponsor a seminar that fits your needs. Go to homeward.com to find out more. Be sure to check out more family ministry topics on their website at homeward.com. That's Homeward, HOMEWORD.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Lucille Williams is with it. Lucille, I actually wanted to play music. I wanted to play either the Chuck Berry, Little Richard, Kenny Rogers. Yeah. And then I found out that on podcasts, you can't do that, because I was going to play that. I bet you people have for years, you know, sang that song to you.
Oh, yeah. I've gotten that for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, at least one of them. I'm not going to sing the song to you today.
Thank you.
Anyway, I was going to, and then we found out we couldn't do it integrity-wise, and so, you know, you didn't get the song. But anyway, you're back, and I'm so glad you're back. You know, Kathy and I weren't always on the same page when it came to parenting. I mean, we read parenting books together, and there weren't podcasts when we were, you know, around raising our kids, but there were, you know, plenty of content. We just always weren't on the same page, and yet, you know, we had to figure it out. What do you say to the couple who really wants to do a good job parenting, but they're not always on the same page? For us, it was discipline. I disciplined differently than Kathy did. What's your input on that?
I think that's a common thing for all couples that parent together, because we all have a different view. We were parented differently. Mm. We have different personalities. Our kids are different. Yeah. Like, you know, back to the old, the three we had were so different. The first two were more in your face. I'm not doing that. Where the third one was like, he'd look at me and go, yes, mommy. I'd say, Joey, don't do that. Yes, mommy. It was like he was so easy. But then as soon as you turned around, he was the one sneaking out the back door and climbing under the fence and then running down the street. So he was like compliant in front of you. But then you turned around the other two, they did it right. They were just like, I'm not doing that. But what I discovered as, I don't want to say co-parent because, you know, we were married. But when you parent together, you're co-parents.
We still co-parent. Yeah, exactly.
Your children seeing you in harmony is more important than which approach you take.
Ooh, I like that.
And at the end of the day, your marriage and your example of marriage and how you treat each other in your marriage is more important than fighting over whether or not they get dessert that night. Or, and sometimes it's more serious things. But a lot of times, like, my husband and I would have different ideas, and I would just have to go, is it that big of a deal to make this a conflict in our marriage, which then affects the kids worse than whatever it was that we disagreed on?
Yeah. You know, in one of my parenting books, I have a section called United We Stand, Divided We Fall. Mm-hmm. And my point was, you don't have to always agree, but you might have to agree to disagree. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, get behind the spouse. I mean, I've heard horror stories where somebody has said, yeah, you know, I was disciplining my child, or I was, you know, giving him some consequences. And, you know, the other spouse came in and said, no, we're not going to do it that way. It's okay here, you know. And, you know, that's just horrible. That's just not good.
Yes.
Not a good idea at all.
Yes.
And yet, you know, there's times in my life where I've, you know, with Kathy, we disagreed on things. Discipline, we disagreed on. We disagreed on some of the educational things. Now, all my kids have master's degrees, so they kind of sort of did okay, right? We did it Kathy's way, not my way. So I had to learn to bite my tongue early. You know, we talk about biting our tongues with our kids sometimes, especially our adult kids. You have adult kids. I have adult kids. And so, you know, keep your mouth shut, the welcome mat out, that kind
Great
of thing.
Book. Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we have to bite our tongue with our spouse and say, is this the battle that I want to do or not? Mm-hmm. And so I found that our kids were educated and sometimes disciplined differently, but I don't think they thought we were ever on opposite pages. They tried to get us there, you know, because kids will do it, especially that strong-willed child. Did your kids ever, did they ever do that where they kind of worked you against Mike? And
yes. Yeah. Kids are masters at that. You know,
they are good.
Dad said it's okay if I this. Mom said that. We always said, what did mom say? What did dad say? I remember when my kids were little, they would say, I want to call dad. I go, okay, let's call him. So I'd dial the phone. Here you go. And I'd hear them just telling all about, you know, mom did this and mom did that. They'd be telling on me. He'd go, okay, let me talk to your mom. And then he put me on the phone. And it was like we always knew we were going to support each other.
No, it's a good idea.
Yeah.
Great. And I think that's helpful advice. It's worth listening to the podcast on that. So when you're in the midst of tension, you suggest what you say in your book, the three C's, and that would be calm, clean, and control. Or excuse me. Clean might be the fourth one. Calm, clear, and control. Yeah. And I want you to talk about that.
Yeah. You know, our kids are going to freak out sometimes. They're going to go crazy. Mm-hmm. But if a three-year-old's having a little tantrum, don't fight with a three-year-old. Don't fight with a five-year-old. Don't fight with a 10-year-old. Don't fight with a teenager. Just let them do their thing. Let them have their little whatever. I mean, I remember our daughter would go in her room and kick her wall and scream, I hate him, I hate him, I hate him. And we would just laugh. We go, there
no, it's great that you laugh, because it's also, I hear people who are broken because their kids said, I hate you.
Yeah, we heard that a lot. I mean, we heard that. If you didn't do what she wanted, she would. And I remember my son, the very first note I ever got from him, he asked me how to spell out the words mean mommy. And he handed it to me because I wouldn't let him do whatever it was he wanted to do that day. That was the very first note I ever got from him. And it was the cutest thing. But if you're not getting that kind of thing, you're not being a parent.
Right.
Because your kids have got to disagree with you. And if they don't disagree with you, you are not doing what you're supposed to do. But you could do it in a loving way. But if she wanted to express herself and say she hated us, okay, that's how she feels right now. And we, when she calmed down, we'd say, well, we love you. So even in the midst of their getting crazy, you got to stay calm. Because getting crazy with them is not going to, and it's hard. It is really hard because your heart is breaking and you feel bad for them. You're questioning, am I doing this right? But you got to figure it out and stay calm. And then what I found with my children is clear objectives. This is what I'm expecting, and this is what's going to happen if you don't do this. So I can remember saying to my daughter, if you want to spend the afternoon in your room, then continue doing A, B, and C, because you're going to end up in your room. And so she keeps doing it. Okay, sweetheart, you know you're headed that way. I'm just letting you know you are choosing to put yourself down for a nap or whatever the thing was. So it's like clear, we need to let them know. We can't just make up the rules on them. We can't say, oh, well, since you did that, since you played with the ball in the house, now you don't get to play for the rest of the day. Well, did you tell them they're not allowed to play with that ball in the house? Because if there's a ball, kids are going to play with it. So, you know, we need to be clear on what we expect and what the rules are, and then have control. We need to
calm,
be the
clear,
parent.
Now control.
We need to have control of ourselves. We can't always have control of our kids. I mean, I know I didn't. Sometimes I was just like, okay, like you'd be in public and they do stuff and you're like, oh, well, what am I going to do? They're freaking out or whatever they're doing. So, but you can stay in control. And remember, it's not a reflection of you. It's just, that's just what's happening that day. Because sometimes you can look like a really bad parent, but you're not. You're a good parent. And you know, we're embarrassed because people are watching. But if we're staying in control and we're loving them through whatever they're going through, that's good parenting. Who cares who's watching or what they think? They're not the ones that are going to be with you 20 years from now when they're adults. Yeah.
You know what I love about this conversation is I feel like because you've been through it, your kids are older now, you got grandkids, is in some ways you're mentoring some of the younger moms who are listening, some of the younger dads who are listening, because they need to have the freedom to realize that it's not easy during this time and that they can't take it as personally. But they need to hear people have said, oh, no, I've taken it personally. It's been incredibly difficult at times, yet you know what, you're going to get through it, and here's really how you do it. Because I think we learn from our mistakes. Somebody once said, you know, how'd you get so smart? Well, from mistakes.
Exactly.
You know, and so it's the mistakes that we make, and so I really love that. Now, you came from more of what you would call a dysfunctional family, dysfunctional background. And a lot of people who come from – now, dysfunction just means broken, and I think every family's a little bit broken. But when it comes to kind of the parent who's somewhat wounded, a lot of times they're parenting out of their deficit, or they're parenting out of their wounds, or they don't know how to parent when there's – you know, when they weren't parented, you know, healthy. What kind of advice do you give to that person who says, this is all fine, but you don't understand my background?
Well,
maybe you do understand the background because of your background.
Well, and what you described, that was me. I mean, every step of the way, I didn't know. I didn't know if what I was doing was going to be good for my kids or bad for my kids. Because while you're raising them, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon that just seems like it never ends. And I didn't know if the choices I was making were the right choices for them. I didn't know if I was a good parent. I knew I was doing the best I could, but I really didn't know. And I knew that I had a lot of stuff. I had a lot of dysfunction, and I had things about me that, you know, were not good. And they got, your kids get to see a front row of that. They're in the front row in, you know, of the theater. They watch all of those things that we're struggling with when we lose it, when we, you know, have our meltdowns, when we, you know, whatever, they're right there. When we're rude to the, you know, person at the other side of the counter, they're right there watching. So what I learned to do is just when I was able to start realizing, okay, they're seeing this, embrace my weaknesses, talk to them about it and go, like, make sure they know it's not about them. Like, sometimes you just got to own it. Yeah. Your mom was having a really bad day and I'm sorry that I was short with you, or I'm sorry that I hollered at you, or I'm sorry that I didn't respond in a way that was right. I even, if I didn't treat their dad right, I'd go to my kids and I'd sit down with each one and go, you know what? You saw mommy do this with daddy. You saw how I spoke to him, and that was so rude and wrong. And I'm sorry that I did that in front of you.
That's really healthy. That's called healthy. Yeah. Yeah. And what's great about it is, and I, you know, I was up where you and Mike used to live in California. I was up in a kind of in that area. I was speaking at a women's group last week in Westlake Village, at a big church up there. And I was thinking that they were young women mainly with young kids. And I was thinking what they need is mentors. And I would even say to any of our listeners, if they don't have mom mentors, then find your Lucille, you know, who can kind of say, my life wasn't perfect and it still isn't perfect, but here's what I've learned. Because again, you're just giving great, great input in your book. And again, I'm going to show the book. I love the book. There it is right there. It's called The Impossible Kid. And then it says Parenting a Strong-Willed Child with Love and Grace. And we don't have much time left, but I want you to tell us, how do you parent a child with love and grace in the midst of chaos and confusion and all the things that are going on?
Right, right. Well, first you have to give grace to yourself, and you have to be loving to yourself, and your kids need to see that. And when things come up that you realize, oh man, I need help with this, get the help you need, because getting the help for you is getting the help for your children. So whether that's a mentor or a counselor or, you know, whatever, a doctor, whatever, get the help you need. And basically give your children grace too. They're going to make mistakes. Like my kids always knew if they came and told us, this is what happened and this is what I did, they didn't get in trouble. My husband and I would say, okay, what do we need to do to fix it? How can we help you? And how do you want us to help you? It wasn't like if something happened at school that they had to go fix or something, they weren't in trouble at home. When they came and they outed themselves, we just helped them get through whatever it was. And so this way, when things came up, they were willing to talk to us about it.
Yeah.
And I think it really cut back on the lying.
Right, right. I mean, that's love and grace, but it's also a safe environment. Mm-hmm. Some kids don't feel safe with their parents because they think they're going to blow up. They're going to scream. They're going to shout. They're going to bite. They're going to do,
yeah,
I hope they don't bite,
exactly,
but they're going to do whatever. And, again, really, our conversation has been really good news for parents who are like in over their heads with, you know, kind of the chaos, or a kid who's stubborn, or a kid who's, you know, very strong-willed. Lucille, thank you so much for being on the program today. I just appreciate you so much. And again, you can go to lousays.com. You can see much about her books. There's blogs. There's so many things, good things. At Homeward, we have the privilege of sometimes working with Lucille. She spoke at a Refreshing Your Marriage conference with Doug Fields and myself. She crushed it. She was so good. But she's got so much good stuff on lousays.com. So again, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
You know, before I call this a day, I want to talk a little bit, just for a moment, about creating a character without crushing their spirit. And really, Lucille talked about this so, so well. How do we develop character and responsibility with kids, especially if they're strong-willed kids? So I'm going to give you four quick steps. It's right out of a book that I wrote called Understanding Your Teen, but it works for any age. Number one is you give your kids responsibility. The bottom line is that you're not raising an obedient child. You're actually trying to raise a responsible adult. And so after they get to be 2 years old, you start giving them some responsibility. Obviously, for a two-year-old, you're not giving the same responsibility as a 10-year-old or a 16-year-old. Number two step is you trust that your child will carry out that responsibility. That's important, right? Now, guess what? They're going to blow it because they're humans and all of us sin and fall short of the glory of God. Well, they do too. And so when they blow it, when he blows it, when she blows it, then stand back and allow the consequences. Lucille said this. She said, you know, tell them ahead of time what's your expectation, because if they don't know their expectations, that's not going to work. But allow those consequences to occur. And listen to this. While you express empathy, oh, I'm so sorry, buddy. You know, we are going to have to take your cell phone, you know, because we said that if you were late for curfew, that's older kids. Oh, I'm so sorry. You know, you're not going to be able to play with that toy, or you don't have screen time today because we'd already talked about this. So you're expressing kind of empathy. But then the fourth step, and this is such a key step, is turn right back around and give them that responsibility all over once again, trusting that they're going to make that decision. And that's just a great way to, you know, create character and responsibility in their lives without crushing their spirit. And we all blow it. And what you do, Lucille said it, sometimes we just have to say, hey, I'm so sorry. That was all about me today. And that was not about you. You didn't deserve the wrath that I just gave you. Yeah, you were probably wrong in this, but let me also tell you, it was more about me. So anyway, that's just a wrap for today. I hope that's helpful. I love Lucille Williams. I love her husband. I love their family. I just think she did such a great job today on the podcast, but also go to her books, find out more about her. And you can join me next time on the next podcast with Homeward.com with Jim Burns. Homeward is trying to help families succeed. And please let others know about this. It's just the beginning of our podcast. We're so excited that people are subscribing. People are telling us that they like our podcast. That makes us feel good. And don't forget to check out homeward.com. And if you have any questions, we have a voice line. So you can do questions. And I'm going to actually do a Q&A. I love Q&A. And I'm going to do a Q&A sometime soon. And so you can call the voice line and ask your question, keep it concise. And then we'll do a whole show on that. You call the voice line at 1-800-397-9725. And my great thanks to Elijah Hamilton, who's here, Kelly Fellows, Cindy Ward, and to Mike Segovia and all the others who help us make this podcast possible. So I'm Jim Burns signing off. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for joining us for this edition of Homeward with Jim Burns. Be sure to check out Jim's latest books, courses, and blogs at homeward.com. While you're there, you can book Jim for your next speaking event. Just click on the Seminar Request tab and fill out the information. Take some time to scroll around and see all of the resources we have available for you to help your family succeed. Once again, all of this can be found at homeward.com. Also, be sure to follow Jim and Homeward on all their social media pages, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thanks again for joining us. Be sure to tune in next week for another edition of Homeward with Jim Burns. Homeward with Jim Burns, helping families succeed.